connected with their equipment down the outside. The fields are now aligned in the flames. Ladies and gentlemen, I have three letters for you. None of them consonants, all of them vowels. E, E, and E. It's Wes, what do you got to say?
That is correct. I will take that as the daily double.
$4,000.
Ooh. See, now we have to play like skee ball.
Oh, there's probably going to be a skee ball announcement at E3 this year.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's been long lost, you know. So it's been phased out of, you know, carnivals, you know, Toys R Us's, you know, the skee ball culture is largely on decline, and it's being revived virtually now.
Yeah, I mean, because at first it was Chuck E. Cheese that really had they kind of had the full kit and caboodle when it came to skee ball. Like, you went to Chuck E. Cheese, there was no other place, and yeah, now since Chuck E. Cheese has become a depressing shell of its former self, like, it's basically just you go there and the door has pizza grease on it and kids with dirty diapers are playing in the ball pit.
Yeah, well, the only thing it's good for is, you know, now these guys have taken, you know, the animatronic bands and adapted them to mimic playing modern songs.
Like that Usher song, that's right. No, that's completely correct. And I think that's where it really has evolved. I mean, it's become more virtual reality, and it's,
yeah. I mean, everything's changing, man. We're on the, I mean, this E3 is really ushering in an entire new generation of, you know, not necessarily hardware, but, you know, concepts for, as far as games go, just reviving, you know, some of the old stuff that a lot of us grew up on. So it should be pretty interesting.
That's true. I mean, hell, Nintendo's been selling the same game for 30 years now. So, I mean, it works.
It works, yeah. I mean, Mario's got to be an old dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a good old.
Now, that'd be interesting if they actually, you know, aged Mario. Like, Mario Galaxy, he's actually, like, Father Time. He's got this huge white beard. And
see, he's old sensei. He's the one that, after your quest is whoever, you're kind of downtrodden, you're kind of depressed because you didn't quite accomplish your goals. But then he's the one that tells you that, you know, this is the failure is the reason to keep going.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But before we get into all that stuff, like, we got our first segment, we talk about what we're playing.
That's right.
I don't know if much has changed. I guess I'm playing a couple new things, but why don't you go first?
All right. Well, first, to officially start it, I am your host, Mr. Wes Gardner.
Right, I totally forgot. I'm not used to doing this. This is like bizarro next to your beard.
But it is, and that's Mr. Brian Belita joining me on this pre-E3 hype train extravaganza. This one's going to be good. Like, this one, we actually have some very, very good good insider tips.
I mean, can you really go wrong with the Electronics Entertainment Expo?
No.
I mean, come on.
And this year, it's supposed to be coming back to full force. But we'll be getting into that in the second segment. Or second and third segment, I think. Yeah. Second segment will kind of focus on...
I don't even know how many segments we're going to have. We're playing this by ear.
Yeah, exactly. We may have 7 segments. Who knows? You know, this may be our experimental album that we hinted about last time.
Wait through the 20 minutes of silence for the secret track at the end.
Right. And the old Smokey and the Bandit quotes that we ripped straight from the film. But but yeah.
Speaking of Smokey the Bandit, this is what I'm playing.
I've been playing. There wasn't a Smokey and the Bandit game. There was a Starsky and Hutch game, wasn't there?
Probably.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, there was a Jaws game, so I imagine there was...
Yeah, there has to be. It's probably on, like, the Amiga or something. But that's what I've been playing. Wherever that is, I was playing it. No, but actually, I haven't been playing too much this past week. Just kind of dabbling in stuff I was already playing. Like, played a little bit of City of Heroes, maybe all of 1 hour of it over the past week, but... been playing a lot of Company of Heroes.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Real-time strategy. And it's a lot of fun. And it's a lot better now that I have a good processor.
Yeah.
It actually runs it well. So, but yeah, good real-time strategy goodness. But, yeah, doing that and some Phantasy Star Portable again. And it's still
addictive.
That's not
the PSP.
Right, yes, on the PlayStation Portable. And that's a nice use of the letters, the Phantasy Star Portable. You know, how they put it together.
Oh, they did. I remember the DS was, like, the first one to do that. You know, they released other games like Guilty Gear, Dust Strikers, or...
Lunar Dragon Sword.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
So oh, God. Grand Theft Auto Down Syndrome. I'm sorry. That was terrible. I know. I don't know why the only thing I could think of was Grand Theft Auto. I'm sure there must have been something else better. No. Like,
but no, that's... I'm glad you...
Madden DS.
Madden, double...
Dallas.
Yeah, the double safeties? I don't know. I know my football, but I just can't... I have a...
Yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know anything about that.
But yeah, I haven't been playing a whole lot. But I'm glad you did bring up Grand Theft Auto, as we have that in the next segment, about some of the hype that we've...
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. We got some, some of you may know that they just announced some information about the new DLC coming out in the vein of, because they're not doing that whole micro stuff. They're releasing pretty sized stuff like last night. But anyways, so that's all you've been playing pretty much?
Yeah, not too much. I mean, just kind of dabbling. I've had other little projects going on, so just trying to game when I can. But
I hear you. I've been playing City Heroes a pretty good amount, usually a little bit every night. I've been playing with my friend Sam, who was one of the guys that I pretty much started playing with. I think I mentioned him before.
Yeah.
And he's got a level 43 martial arts super reflexes scrapper, and I've been up my martial arts regen scrapper. So me and him, we've been kicking guys left and right as martial arts scrappers, and occasionally Yamtoryu's been joining us. With his martial arts regen scrapper, so we've just been punching and kicking people all over the place. It's been pretty fun.
Hell yeah! And you guys are like level. Well, what are you at right now? I know like a level 50 cap, but what are you?
He's my second highest character. The guy I was playing, who's his name's Ashen Hero in game, and I just hit level 41 with him, and yeah, my friend Sam just hit 43, so we're trying to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're up there because the cap is 50. So we're trying to get him to 50. But, Young Truyu's guy is a little lower. I think he's like 28 or something. So we've just been sidekicking him up so he can join us in our missions.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like good amount of City Heroes. You know, fun. Happy to be back in it because I can play with my friends. So it brings back good old times.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing that. On PC, I just beat Braid the other day. Like,
nice.
Entirely. I got all the puzzle pieces and did all the puzzles and stuff. So I really enjoyed that. Like, it was a really fun game. I don't know, I could have kind of done without some of the, like, the story was good, it was there, like, it kind of, you know, the music helped push it along with the, you know, the whole atmosphere, and the story was, it was neat, it was a lot of text, it seemed like, when you're running through the first areas and you got all the books,
yeah.
So I appreciate what he's kind of trying to do. To some extent, I agree with some people, you know, saying he was... it was a little bit pretentious, or I don't know what people were saying, gameplay alone, it was really fun. You know, I really enjoyed the whole time manipulation puzzles. I mean, some of them were really mind-boggling that, you know, they took me a good while to figure out. So I completely beat that, got all the Steam, achievements, except for one, which is do a complete speed run. of like all the levels in under like 45 minutes, I think it is.
Yeah, which is
so nice. I haven't done that. I don't know. I might do that, but I think after that I'll pretty much be done with it just because there's not a whole lot of replay value. But maybe later down the line if I'm, you know, in a while when I'm like, hey, you know, I feel like playing this again. But, you know, most of the puzzles, once you solve them, you know how to do them. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's still a really fun game. And, the platforming felt solid. The controls were nice and responsive. So it's a really good game. I much appreciate it. And again, thanks to Patrick, a.k.a. Ether, great artist, for gifting it to me for my birthday.
Absolutely. Good deal, good deal.
Let's see. Aside from that, been playing more Demon's Souls. God damn, that game is brutal. I'm on, like, I beat the first level, like, 1-1, yeah. And there are a bunch of different areas, you know, so there's, like, 2-1, 3-1, 4, you know, I don't know, I think each one has, like, 3 or 4 areas.
Right.
And it takes a long time to work through these, because you're being really careful, just because it's pretty easy to get killed. And so I'm on the second area of the first level, or the first, like, map or whatever, which is this palace. And, God, like twice in a row, I just like been running along these battlements and going underneath it while this dragon fucking chases me breathing fire.
Right.
just barely making it to safety in time. And there's like, after I make it across this whole long battlements and bridge, I get there and there are like 4, 5, 6 archers that are just like blasting at you. So I'm dodging out of the way. I manage to kill them all. And then I kill this one blue-eyed knight who's a pretty formidable opponent. I mean, they'll mess you up. Mm-hmm. And then there's the second one. And that second one always killed me, like, twice in a row. Oh, God. It's such a brutal game. I love it. I love it. Nice. It's great. Yeah, so I've been playing a good amount of Demon's Souls. And then I tried out Ragdoll Kung Fu
I was about to mention that.
Yeah, because this week it's free, apparently, as gifted by Sprint. So that's a good deal. I enjoyed playing the original Ragdoll Kung Fu when it came out on Steam a good while ago. So that was really fun. I enjoyed that. That one actually had some like single player. Well, I guess it's kind of the same style they did it. They had some neat, this kind of really bad cheesy cutscenes in between, filmed with I think Mark Healy, who's one of the guys who's involved in Media Molecule, Little Big Planet.
Right.
And he had like this fake skull cap on doing like totally bad martial arts and it was great. But this one, it's pretty minimal. They have like the first option in the menu is online. So, I mean, that tells you something right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is like challenge. They've got like, I think 15 or 20 challenges, but I mean, they're basically just that, you know, there's no kind of, entertaining, you know, cutscenes in between, but it's still a fun game. I still enjoy it. I really enjoy the idea. It's funny when, you know, like you jump your guy and he ragdolls with another character and ends up like just teabagging him and bending him over sideways.
Right. And for those that haven't played it before, it plays a little bit like Smash Brothers, doesn't it? It kind of has that same sort of arena fighting, like sort of.
Yeah. It's got, you know, kind of brawling. Yeah, it does. You know, it's not like a fighting game in the, you know, the original sense, like a, you know, 2D, I'm on the left, you're on the right, we're punching each other.
Right.
You know, you can like jump around, you know, it drops items, you know, special weapons you can pick up and fling around. But so it's a really fun kind of physicky fighting brawler game. I'd say almost in the vein of like Torabash, if any of you played that.
Oh.
Pretty fun freeware game just because of the physics involved.
Mm-hmm.
And much just throwing your guy around and he ragdolls to the air and then you can punch and so it's fun though. I played like the first 3 or 4 challenges and it's an enjoyable game and it's free. I mean, you really can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and especially if you, I'm pretty sure it has like 4-player local support, so if you have some friends over, it's a ton of fun. Because I remember on the Steam version, you could plug in a second mouse, because that the PC version was controlled by mouse. It was a really interesting control scheme, but so pretty fun to be playing that. That's about it. I finished all 10 tiers of Rhythm Heaven on the DS.
Nice.
So I'm going back and kind of, you know, gold starring them or whatever. That's about it. I think there's more, but no, that's pretty much the brunt of it. Yeah.
Good deal. Absolutely.
I wish I had more time. Some people were talking about Mass Effect today, and so I should play that at some point. I was talking to, again, Ether earlier, asking him, because he kind of knows me. He knows my kind of gaming habits.
Right.
So I was asking him if he thought I'd enjoy it, and so I think it seems like I might. And even if I end up maybe not particularly enjoying the gameplay, I might enjoy it just for the world they've created.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the trailer for Mass Effect 2 that was released today, mm-hmm. and it looks fantastic. Like some of the robots and just the technology they have designed is really interesting. So
yeah, I do personally think that you will like it. The actual gameplay style may take a little bit to warm up to, because I mean, I'm a huge BioWare freak anyway, and it took me a while to warm up to it. I was like, I don't know how this controls, and I don't know about the sticks, and I don't. But then, after 2 or 3 hours, and that sounds like a long time to be playing a game before you, get with it. But with a BioWare game, those first 2 or 3 hours are all exposition. I mean, that's all like, this is who you are, these are the choices that you've already made. Where did you come from? How were you born? Are you a warrior? Yeah. Are you a such and such? Like, so you kind of have to build up your momentum of what you want your character to be.
Yeah.
And then they literally open it up, like open up the entire world like an onion. And you're like, okay, where the hell do I go now? And it does have that very, if there's one thing they nailed, it's that old kind of mid-80s Blade Runner-esque, you just want to keep digging into the world. Like, you're like, okay, I know there's even more here. I know there's even more here. Like, where did this alien come from? And I want to know who these people are related to. And I want to, and in good BioWare fashion, they definitely do it. You can spend hours reading about stuff. I mean, they have an entire encyclopedia in game based on like databases that the ship uses to do FTL jumps. So yeah, it's a huge game.
So it's a roguelike.
Yeah. Right. So it's a, so it plays exactly like Etrian Odyssey.
Right. But yeah, the one thing that kind of had me on edge about it is, I don't know. I never really like having to manage a squad. I was talking to Ether, and I asked him just how much like squad management is involved. Like, do I have to command them explicitly? But he said he got by pretty well, but just kind of, having them on auto. So yeah, I think I should be.
That's true. And I mean, you can do it in such a way that you can kind of take care of everything, by saying, yeah, let's make this guy my heavy arms guy. So he has a shotgun and, something else. But then I'll make this person my magic user. So I'll give her or him the healing spells. And, then I'll just be kind of a jack of all trades. And then,
How big is the squad usually? Is it just three?
Three, yeah.
Okay, that's not too bad. I mean, if I like find two, because I know you can get like different squad members, right?
Right. Yes.
If I find two that I like, can I just stick with them, or does it kind of make you switch squad up?
You can keep your favorites. Yeah, I'll just say that.
Okay. All right. Because Anyways, so and also, it's right now on Steam. It's $20. So I don't think I can go wrong.
Yeah. And now that, because I have it on 360, and the only reason I don't do a replay of it is because I'm worried that my 360 will break, because it's been kind of iffy lately. It's been making a little bit of noise and dirty disc, a little bit of even on games that are installed to the hard drive, it'll pop up a dirty disc error.
Jesus. That'd be great. Is that what it's called? Like, does that actually pop up? It's like error code 40562 dirty disc.
Yep. It says dirty disc error. And then it says this.
DDE.
Yeah. It says, this disc cannot be played either.
That's funny.
Wipe it off or something. Yeah. It's like almost demeaning. It's like, clean your goddamn disc. And it's like, my disc is fine. And it started doing it the moment I bought Street Fighter 4.
That sucks.
I put it in, and I was like, man, Street Fighter 4. And then it told me that, and I was like, oh, shit. So then I installed the hard drive, and still nothing. So I'm like, it's literally been off for a few months. Like, it's I haven't played anything on 360, because I'm just terrified. I mean, I have games I really want to get back to, but I'm just so worried that it's going to break.
Well, that sucks. Speaking of good deals, mm-hmm. So we got Mass Effect on Steam for $20. Sure. We got Ragdoll Kung Fu Fist of Plastic on the PSN for free this week. And also this week on the PSN, they've reduced the price of Bionic Commando Rearmed from $10 to $4.99. And for anyone that doesn't know, Bionic Commando Rearmed is basically it's a remake. Well, not a remake. It's a, I guess a redux. It's a reimagining, re-envisioning of the original Bionic Commando. So it's 2D and stuff, but it's, you know, it's got slick, you know, HD 1080F graphics.
Cybercore, you know, so processing.
So it's still played in a, it's 2.5D for anyone who actually understands that term. But yeah, so it's $5, so I'm going to pick that up because, I don't know, I just kind of forgot about it, but now that I see it's, you know, half off this week, it'll be fun.
Yeah, now is the perfect time to do it. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Good deals. I think I know why they're doing this too, and I think we'll get to that in the next segment. But yeah, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back from break. And as I was saying right before break, I think all these nice sales are going on, you know, on the marketplaces like Mass Effect and stuff. Because one, like you said, the Mass Effect 2 trailer just came out. But I think they're hyping up for E3. Like, all of those companies are going to either announce something or like, oh, exclusive new levels for Ragdoll Kung Fu. They're going to do something. Like, it just makes sense that they're going to get as many people on board as they can. Then make an announcement because
well, I'm sure there's going to be some stuff about the actual Bionic Commando game since you know they've got the price on the the little retro remake game,
the remastered edition. And speaking of E3 hype, it's kind of exciting because I mean now it feels like we've officially made it as a gaming radio show because we actually got emailed some. Insider scoop things. I mean, we both do know a few people in the industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's as much as I hate Twitter, I mean, you've actually made some good contacts through there, so that's pretty neat. And
yeah.
I mean, we've got I really didn't think it would, you know, happen, but we've got some, we've got some interesting listeners, apparently, so.
Yeah, and I mean, we are going to keep all the names anonymous because we don't want to, you know, we're not going to bite the hand.
For certain things.
Yeah, for certain deals. And I know right now kind of the whole gossip thing is kind of a popular deal. Like, I know that GameSpot thing, that rumor control deal where, oh, well, then Kojima announcement's going to be the next Metal Gear and, you know, like, all this other stuff. It's kind of a goofy time, but these are pretty credible. Like, we both have this list here, and I'm reading down it, and this stuff looks pretty tangible. I mean, this looks promising. Because it's not quite the crazy megaton announcements that people are expecting. It's a little bit more conservative, but that makes it a little bit more believable, you know, because every time they're like, well, they're going to announce a new Zelda, and it's going to have a real person playing Link, and it's, you know, and you're like, well, whatever. But I mean, these seem pretty cool, but I'll just kick off with this one, because this one seems to be, like, the big one. All it says here is that Microsoft is going to be making an announcement of a partnership with another company that'll take everybody by surprise. And then in parentheses they put that it was, you know, think of the Netflix thing. Like, nobody saw Netflix and Microsoft teaming up for the 360.
Right. But that's so, what I mean, not necessarily really, I guess it doesn't have to be game-related, but...
Exactly. We don't know.
Something to push the uses of the console.
Yeah, to kind of make it more of a home entertainment spectrum-oriented thing, which is cool. Like, we don't have too many more specifics on that, but just keep it...
Right, do you have any ideas? I mean, what do you think it would be?
Honestly, I think...
I mean, if you don't have any ideas, you don't have any ideas. I'm just trying to rack my head.
Well, yeah, there has been the rumors going around that since Final Fantasy XIII is coming to the 360, that they might get someone like Squaresoft on the Xbox Live Marketplace. You know what I mean? For, like, older Final Fantasies and stuff. I mean, that's just conjecture. I don't know for sure. But that would take everybody by surprise. I mean, you would not. You would expect the PlayStation to get it before... You know, on the PSN to get all the old Final Fantasies before something like the 360. But, I mean, they had that tower defense game that came out that was multi-platform.
Right. Oh, so like, original titles you're talking about?
I don't know. I mean, it could be original titles, or it could be stuff like, hell, Final Fantasy VII for the 360. And you're like, holy shit. I mean, it could be huge. Yeah. But, I mean, because that would take everyone by storm. No one would expect it. I was trying to think, and there's no really other big company. I was like, maybe Hulu? And I was like, no, that's too much like Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has to be something. I mean, it wouldn't be... Because it sounds too credible. It sounds too correct to be just... I don't know.
But, yeah. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. But go ahead. What do you got on
One that I got in from this email that Wes and I have... saying that there's going to be a new Crash Bandicoot game coming out for, it doesn't list a specific platform here, but, you know, I guess that doesn't mean it's on a specific platform. So, right. I don't know, it could be across the board, because I'm pretty sure all the ones so far have just been on PlayStation consoles, right? Or Sony consoles?
Well, they released a few of them on 360, but it was more kind of like the Crash Bandicoot. Twin Sanity type. It was the
If you remember, one of the first games I played was Crash Bandicoot on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was that kind of old platforming, kind of linear path, but, you know, it was kind of action-y and stuff. Yeah. And then they released some other ones, like, I don't know, I guess they had one where, like, you ride giant beasts or something.
Yeah.
Had, I guess, Nitro Kart or something.
Yeah, that one was a good one. Like, I like Crash Nitro Kart, but it doesn't...
Actually, no, it does have a little note here saying that it could be racing.
Yeah? I mean, it says it could be really any genre, and I think Crash Bandicoot's kind of a good multi-platform way to try to compete with, like, Mario for Mario Party and, you know, things like that, so...
Yeah. Well, if they do it right, I think they could, you know... I don't know if it would come out on Wii, because it's, this little screenshot that he did send us, I mean, it looks... The graphics look pretty good.
Yeah. It looks really impressive, but I mean, the other one, the one where you turn into like a big animal, that one looked good, but it was kind of a, you know, do I want to play this or not? But we'll see.
Another current gen Crash Bandicoot game that is purportedly supposed to kind of go back more towards its roots. So that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Let's see. And actually, this next one's pretty major, and I want you to kind of cover it, because, I mean, you were really big on the Grand Theft Auto 4 train. But, we kind of mentioned Grand Theft Auto earlier, but it looks like we actually have some legit details about that new downloadable content. And if you want to, like, kind of start it off, and I can kind of fill in.
Well, as some of you know, they just announced that there will be another coming DLC.
Yes.
Pack for, in the vein of Lost in the Dam, so like a sizey thing, not like a new car or some shit.
Right.
So in this one, again, they're doing the whole another character kind of thing. But I think, because I didn't play Lost in the Dam, but that kind of ties into the actual Nico Bellic single-player story, right?
Right, yeah, and actually there's a few cutscenes that have Nico in them. Like, it literally takes certain story points and mixes them, which is pretty cool. And apparently this one's going to do it, too.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know how much, because it seems like they're doing, just from the information that we have here, that they're kind of doing a little bit different from that. But apparently in this one you play as Dwayne. They've got kind of a little story synopsis here, so I guess I'll kind of give a quick rundown. But the story apparently begins with Dwayne on a plane. Fuck. I don't even realize that.
Dwayne on a plane. There's snakes on a plane.
But anyway, so it starts with Dwayne on a plane heading somewhere, and there's like an EMP blast or something. Something mysterious causes the plane to go down, and he crashes on Liberty City, which is how he got there originally. So from there, and they're actually doing a little bit different. They're kind of taking more of a puzzle route with this one. You kind of got to go around finding information and solving puzzles and stuff. Right. And I'll let you kind of go on with this next tidbit, which is really interesting. It's kind of a turn for the supernatural.
It's kind of a weird thing. And before I kind of get into that, apparently also it's going to show that that Roman, you know, Nico's cousin, and Dwayne have known each other for a little bit. But there's apparently, like, some falling out.
And I totally skipped over that in the beginning.
So it looks like there's this, like, weird 6 degrees of separation thing going on. But the electromagnetic pulse, it brings the plane down. And they don't really... At first, they really don't know, you know, what's up. They just know they were part of a plane crash. And it brings them down, and yeah, your job is Dwayne, because what people don't know is Dwayne used to be a doctor, like, it kind of in a former life, but through this tragedy, he kind of snaps a little bit, and that's kind of where, in Grand Theft Auto 4, if you all played it, Dwayne is a character that's sort of, he's suicidal. I mean,
he's on the brink. I mean, he's a changed man from being in prison for whatever reason. I guess this will reveal what put him in prison.
Yeah, which I'm excited.
He's apparently this will kind of tell the story of Dwayne on the brink of his insanity.
Yeah, and I mean this looks really interesting, and apparently it also brings about some kind of supernatural things about Liberty City that, you know, people are always drawn there. Like, it's not really their choice, but once they get to Liberty City, they know that this is where they have to be. Like, I was destined to come here.
And real quick before you reveal this little tidbit, a little Easter egg in Grand Theft Auto 4, if you take a helicopter and kind of land on the side of the, what's the, basically the Statue of Liberty in this called, do you know?
Liberty.
Anyways, so apparently if you get a helicopter and you jump out and land on kind of a little platform area around her, so not on the ground level but higher up, and you can walk through a door, it doesn't open, you kind of clip through it, climb up a ladder, and there's like literally a beating heart inside of this, and I guess you unlock achievement that's like heart of the city or something like that.
Right.
So they've kind of, you know, they've got some stuff tucked away in there.
Yeah, and I mean, and they're also bringing something, and this may kind of make fans of the series mad, because I mean, Grand Theft Auto has always been kind of famous for, you know, the whole drug lord thing, but it's always been strictly about the people. I mean, there hasn't been anything else that has brought these people together. I mean, there's no like supernatural anything, but in this one, they're starting to go towards that way. And there's apparently, like, it doesn't give too much information, but this doesn't make much sense, but like a smoke monster?
Right.
I don't even know what that would, I mean.
is it little Jacob driving in a car?
Pretty much. It's just him with some crazy weed.
Right. Well, from what I understand from reading a bit more further down from what this guy sent us, you know, again, he's on the brink, and a lot of people are, but I think just because I feel like this isn't a direction that Rockstar would take Grand Theft Auto, that it might have something to do with drugs. So
that's a really good point.
I don't know. It might be something or other.
Who knows? Because that would also tie in with Dwayne's girlfriend stuff too.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, this really could. But, you know, I mean, whenever I hear about, you know, if it's a plane crash, if they're really going to take it supernatural, you could say that they're all in, like, purgatory or something. You know, you could all be like, oh, well, no, they're all in between death and they have to redeem themselves. And I don't know. They can take it a number of ways. But yeah, I know they're going to be making the announcement at E3 and kind of showing all the specifics of it. But I'm just really interested to see where they're going to take it.
You know? It should be neat. Dwayne was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't remember, because I guess he was in prison or whatever. I don't know if the prison was on Liberty City, but it just seems like, you know, this character and some of the ones in the Norwegian story just trying to keep, they keep coming back to this, to, you know, to the island, to Liberty City.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I mean, all the people are kind of hiding secrets. And I mean, that's been a Grand Theft Auto thing for a while, but I mean, you know, they're always not what they seem. So yeah, I think it's really interesting to find out their backstory and stuff. And I think, and one more little tidbit about it, I think a lot of it's going to be told through flashbacks.
Right. Wow, I was just about to, I totally forgot about
that. Yeah, yeah, which seems pretty cool. I mean, that's a direction they've gone into a little bit, I think, but not so much through, you know, kind of their games or flashbacks. Like,
yeah.
Okay, we're going to go
back. It's an interesting turn. I mean, they're definitely kind of pushing what they do with its DLC, so it should be interesting, especially if that ties in with the whole kind of, you know, unlocking information and solving puzzles and whatnot, which is, you know, it's a change from the usual kind of run and gun action of Grand Theft Auto. So.
Which is, yeah, I'm all for it, man. Definitely all for it. And this next one, I have kind of an exclusive thing on what the new Kojima project is.
That's the what they got, the little splash page with like the grass and the wind blowing,
the clouds. Yeah, and it's actually going to be something pretty exciting. I mean, kind of the current trend right now is for game developers and movie people to kind of get together. I mean, like John Woo and Warren Spector are doing Ninja Gold. Steven Spielberg did that Rubik's game, the square. What was it called? Rubik's?
Boomblocks.
Oh, Boomblocks. Yeah, that's it. Why was I thinking Rubik's? But
I don't know.
But yeah, it has a square in it. So, but yeah, I mean, so that's kind of a famous thing. And if you look at the splash page, like if everyone goes to it, just type in Kojima Productions and in capital letters type the word next, meaning like their next project.
Yeah.
Go to it, and what you'll notice is like it's a field that has some grass and stuff like that, and like some kind of moody clouds, and there's not much sound, it's kind of ambient and stuff. But from what we see right here, it looks like it's going to be a collaboration with Kojima and M. Night Shyamalan, which would be pretty cool. Like, I'm not a big Shyamalan fan, but I mean, it does make sense whenever you look at the picture. The first
he's a creative guy, so it's interesting to see all these guys kind of, you know, be like, oh shit, there's this whole video game market.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you look at that picture, and if like you guys have seen Signs or like other M. Night Shyamalan films, it does have that kind of mood, that sort of daunting, kind of atmospheric, but.
Yeah, you don't quite know what's going to come next. So,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but yeah, it looks really cool, and I can't wait to see what they come up with. But it doesn't say anything here about what, like, franchise it is, whether it's a new franchise or whether it's a, like, existing one, like Snatcher or, you know, Zone of the Enders or whatever. But him and M. Night Shyamalan, like, that's interesting.
That's a creative duo right there.
That is a mega duo. And, Brian, what else you got? I think we got, like, this, and then...
I think the one thing that's pretty interesting more on it's not really a gaming announcement. I guess it's hardware and it has something to do with a gaming console. But as some of you might know, they recently, I guess I don't know if this is official. I didn't read into it too much, but was it like the Zune HD or some new Zune? I don't think it was a phone though.
It looked more like a. I mean, saying it's like an iPhone, like, hell, everything's like an iPhone, but this really does have, they want it to be your all-purpose kind of portable media device thing.
And I think they'll probably have some game support on it, too, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently, you know, you can, you know, sync movies in between this and your Xbox or whatever.
Right.
So,
and what seems really cool is that it actually has its built-in upscaler. Kind of how the 360 and PlayStation 3, like if you put a normal DVD in and you're watching on a high def TV, it kind of upscales it. Doesn't look quite as good as HD, but it doesn't look bad. And apparently this has that same kind of technology, but for the portable screen. So everything's going to be in 16:9. Basically, you'll just turn the device sideways because it is shaped kind of iPhone-ish, and then you just turn it, and then supposedly the picture is supposed to be really stunning. Like it has some. really nice screen technology and some good stuff.
All right, so in the vein of that, we've got word that Sony will be announcing some sort of Sony or PSP phone. And I don't know, I think this is kind of interesting because there's been a lot of work that Sony's been doing. They've been releasing a couple games now just on, like, digital download, like full PSP games. I think Patapon 2, and there's another one that I don't know is coming out soon. I just read about today. I can't remember what it was, though. So it's interesting that they're pushing this, and it kind of makes sense because, I mean, if you have a phone, you don't want, you know, you don't want mechanical pieces that move around like a thing that opens up
exactly.
for a UMD. So... you know, I don't know. It might be, you know, some sort of Skype integration, you know, 3G, maybe an actual, you know, on connection all the time or whatever. But, we've got good word that there's a high possibility that they, you know, that this is going to be the PSP 2 will also have the capabilities of being a phone. I mean, knowing Sony, they'll probably do various SDKs or whatever. What's the word I'm looking for?
Like prototype type stuff, or
you know, like a different software kit. Is it just SK?
Oh, you mean like kind of an operating system?
They always SKU. That's the word.
The SKU for like retailers.
Yeah, versions or whatever. I assume there'd be one for, you know, if you want a phone as well as the PSP2, you can do that. If you just want the PSP2, it'll probably be at a, you know, at a lower price.
Right. And for Sony, that kind of makes sense, because, I mean, the PSP's been hurting for a while, and they need something to kind of bring that name back. I mean, this is kind of expanding on, everyone was talking about the PSP Go, I think is what the prototype name of it is.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, this does seem like a step in the right direction, because everyone was like, well, you know, we just want the one device to be able to handle everything.
Yeah.
But Sony was like splitting it up, you know.
If you just, I mean, they've clearly taken you know, notes from what the iPhone has been doing, because, I mean, it's a legitimate platform. I mean, there's so much development that has shifted onto it.
Right.
Just real quick, as a side note, I saw today footage from a Wolfenstein RPG for the iPhone.
Yeah.
It looks really awesome. Like, it's done in first person. But the whole thing is, you know, turn-based. You get items and weapons. It looks really neat. If you have a chance, go to, I think it's toucharcade.com.
Right.
And yeah, just look for the video. So if you have an iPhone, it's really neat.
Yeah, I love
that. So it'll be interesting to see how much support goes onto it just from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I was a big fan of Doom RPG. It seems like that would be a cool game to kind of hop onto. But, yeah, this last announcement, I know people are expecting some Final Fantasy news at E3, because, you know, the demo came out with the Japanese version of, the demo of Final Fantasy 13 came out with the Japanese version of, Advent Children, the Final Fantasy 7 movie. They have like a big complete collection that comes with, the movie and a one and a half hour demo, I think. But, yeah, there's live streams of it all over the internet. So, it's pretty cool, but we talked about kind of a little bit of what made it look ridiculous before. And I still kind of stand by that, but, exciting thing is Nomura is actually going to be announcing a new game, and it's not one of the crazy Final Fantasy spinoffs. And this one seems pretty cool because he's kind of taking his teams and putting them together. Usually he's a man about, okay, well, I'm going to take half of this team and split them up into this, and then we're going to have half this team work on this, and then two of these teams...
Real quick, is Nomura, isn't he usually just like the art director?
He was the art director. Now he has kind of creative control. Like, it all kind of shifted to him. Whenever Sakaguchi and all of kind of the old-timers left...
Kichan Dono.
Yeah. Then whenever they left Squaresoft, because they didn't like the direction Squaresoft was going, they were like, no, we don't like this many sequels. No, we're kind of losing focus of, okay, you know, you guys are making a good product, but it's not the kind of product we want to make. They left, and then Tetsuya Nomura kind of got handed everything. They're like, okay, you made Kingdom Hearts, it was a big hit, make more of that. And, I mean, this is kind of a change of pace for Nomura, but a few of the project details, apparently it's a pretty long adventure, and it's the adventure of a zipper and of a belt buckle.
Is this just like a huge, like, fuck you to all the people that complained about
his... I guess so. I guess he's going all out, man. I guess he's just so, so mad. But yeah, apparently it has a really cool battle system. But yeah, you play as these clothing accessories. And,
So, I mean, is it like Disney magical, you know, like Mickey Mouse and the Wizard and the Brooms and... I mean, that sounds...
They haven't said too much. You know, I would think that they probably would, simply because they have the rights to it. And hell, if you got the money and you got the rights to something, why not use it?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this is opening up new horizons for him as a creator. So, I'm definitely looking forward to whatever the... I think the name, they kind of gave us a prototype name right here, and it's called The Adventures of Zippy. And,
yeah, well, there you have it. I mean,
it looks promising. It does look promising.
Famitsu's going to give it a 9999.
Right, just straight across the board, that and Nintendogs. But, but yeah, man, so E3 looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, when is it again? Is it next... Two weekends? I don't know.
I think so. I think it's like either the middle of the first week of June or the second week of June.
Okay.
So it's coming up pretty quick. But yeah, yeah, some pretty big announcements, you know. I mean, we hate to spoil it, but I mean, there's plenty more. We do have a few more on this newsletter, but I mean, we have to keep a few things secret. We have to, we have some non-disclosure agreements that we have, but it'll be exciting. Well,
yeah, we have time release, so I think it's the weekend before E3. We can talk about some of this other stuff.
Yeah, which will be good, and I think it'll get more people excited because there's a few of these things that I am really looking forward to. But yeah, after this break, we're gonna go over what our favorite kind of reveals of past gaming conventions. It doesn't even necessarily have to be E3, but what kind of our past reveals are and what kind of the future holds for. Yeah. Just the whole outlook of E3 and all that good stuff. So, grab a drink and we will be right back. Segment was good. I'm glad we actually got some insider stuff out of the way, because I mean it always sucks whenever we get emails and we can never really say anything because they're under the non-disclosure agreements. But those didn't have really any non-disclosure agreements, except for the few that we couldn't talk about. But there's actually one more that we kind of browsed through in the book.
We've got one. We've got one last one that I wanted to save for last, just because it's amazing.
Go ahead.
But basically, Sega has again put out the Sonic, license or whatever, and BioWare is making a full-scale PC only. Mm-hmm. BioWare is making a full-scale Oblivion-esque Sonic RPG.
Yeah, I mean, they had that Dark Brotherhood on the DS, and you know it turned out really well. But
it was on the DS. I mean, you're right. You know, and BioWare, they're PC.
That's true. I mean, that is a good point. And it's going to be, like you said, in kind of that full, Oblivion style. It's going to be kind of a first person, which is kind of weird because BioWare is not
moving. It's a connection for Sonic.
Yeah, and I mean, BioWare hasn't really done a first person, RPG. They've done kind of the over the top, with like Baldur's Gate and things like that. That's what they're really known for, but I think a first person RPG by them would be really cool. And as we all know, I mean, Sonic is a very deep character with a incredible backstory.
I mean, yeah, all the characters he has intertwining. I mean, he's got Tails, Knuckles, Cream, Big the Cat. What's the fucking crocodile's name?
I don't even know.
But we got the crocodile. We got they probably had a possum.
They had to have a possum.
They got the emu. Probably a raccoon, turtle.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, and the great thing is, since it is Sega, and, I mean, not only is it the Sonic license, but apparently they're going to have some of the characters from Shenmue in there, which I know makes me super excited.
I mean, they've got a screenshot they included of the Seagull Sailors.
Yep, and part of it is you have to, as Sonic, there's a version of Lucky Hit that only animals can play. And you say, can I interest you in a game of Lucky Hit? And then the emu will like walk by and be like, "Murr!" or whatever noise that the
emu is fucking make.
Yeah,
I mean, as you know, originally Sonic started off normal, but they eventually started introducing humans into the lore.
Yep.
And in this one, that they're taking a new kind of direction that you can form relationships. Yeah. And so as Sonic or you can choose your character if have a squad or whatever. You can form relationships with humans or with other, other animal creatures.
Other ridiculous.
So, it's got this really gritty feel to it, even though they've included all like the loop de loops in this 3D world. So the navigation and travel should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I think they said they actually did announce that Sonic was going to be voice acted by Hugh Jackman, which is pretty cool.
Right.
I mean, kind of a deep, more gritty version of Sonic. So I mean.
Yeah. I think they're getting David Hayter for Knuckles.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm really interested in it. And they said that the kind of main Sonic and Sonic and Tails vibe of it will be more kind of like a buddy cop movie, but done in more of like a realistic, kind of very hyper realistic way. Instead of like a Rush Hour film, it's going to be more like Lethal Weapon, I guess they would say. That's kind of what said here, but I think the whole relationship thing, because everyone knows that the Sonic franchise, the fans of Sonic, a lot of them have their own dedicated forums of just where they dedicate their love for the franchise by getting married to Sonic characters.
Yeah.
So this will kind of be a best of both worlds. I can't wait for it because it's a BioWare game.
I mean, it's BioWare.
Yeah. Huge fan. So.
But Sonic, where are the Chaos Emeralds?
I know they're around here somewhere. Good thing we're mercenaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't figured it out,
right?
We here at Nitro Beat Radio are fucking with you.
Yeah, that whole last segment was the most BS thing we've ever done. Like none of that.
I really hope that like somebody, before they even got to this point of listening, was like, "What shit? I haven't seen this on the news sites. I gotta go report this."
Oh my god! If someone posted it on Kotaku, I would die.
Legacy. It would be a fucking legend. And then they get to this point and just feel like a jackass.
Oh man, that would be legendary. Cause see, what we did want to talk about is, I mean, and honest to god, me and Brian do both know people in the games industry, but they don't send us shit. Nobody sends anyone anything. that makes half of this E3 hype train stuff ridiculous. It's like, I heard a guy at GameStop say they got an email that said that sometimes something might happen.
Our goal of this podcast was to make it like a live reading of the NeoGAF forum.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much ridiculous bullshit going on right now. This is why I hate E3 time. Because it's just a bunch of...
PS3 Slim.
It's going to be like a pancake. But I mean, the one thing that kind of... It just kind of upsets me. Because, I mean, Brian, you kind of have a perfect way of putting it. And it's the bullshit internet hype machine that, like, goes around now. And it really is. I mean, people are hyping themselves over dumb stuff. Just stuff that wouldn't even if they announced it, it would suck. Like, it would be dumb, it would be worthless, and they're getting so excited about nothing, man. And it makes me laugh. Like, I don't care anymore.
It's pretty funny, yeah.
I've gotten to the point where it's not even that I've been burned so many times. I mean, when, frankly, as a fan of a few franchises, I have kind of been burned, you know, kind of upset with announcements. Like, well, that wasn't what I was hoping, but here's, you know, maybe it'll still be cool. I think whenever everyone was like, oh, Kojima's announcing a new Metal Gear game, and it was the iPhone Metal Gear Touch. Like, that's a perfect example. But people just start shitting bricks and going crazy. No good reason. No good reason. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think the greatest one is the PS3 Slim.
Because,
like, it's not even the right font. Like, it's grainy. It looks like cheap matte plastic. I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Like, the controller is bigger than the console. Right. And whenever your PlayStation 2 isn't as small as your small PlayStation 3, there's a problem. Like, no. It's dumb. That is dumb rumor.
Yeah, well, it's great because people look at it and then they're like, oh, Sony's fucking dumb for doing this. And then, you know, like, what?
Oh, yeah. And then they act all offended, like, they let me down as a hardcore fan. No, they didn't. They didn't let anything down. Like, don't even... I don't know. Maybe I'm just exhausted with the whole principle of, well, we're going to announce a teaser trailer, and it's going to be 45 seconds. And then 2 years from now, we're going to show some in-game footage.
Here's some news that we're going to make an announcement soon.
Yeah, an announcement for an announcement?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's been a funny one.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, there have been some good moments that have come from conventions.
I think my favorite moment of any like, game conference in the past was Ravi Drums and Wii Music.
Absolutely.
The guy's my hero. Yeah, I hope they bring him back for Wii Music, too, when they announce that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is no better moment, like, with that Ravi Drums thing. Whenever Miyamoto comes out and he's holding the Wii controller very phallically, and he kind of looks around... And he doesn't know where he is, and he starts kind of, like, mimicking playing a flute or a recorder or whatever he was playing. And then they play a really off-key version of the Super Mario theme. Like, it sounded like a handicapped third-grade band. There were tears. There were tears of joy. I was so excited because I knew that Nintendo had finally got it. They finally knew exactly what we wanted, and they delivered. Fuck E3. God damn it. I hate E3 so much. But actually, like, and like legitimately my favorite kind of reveal, and it wasn't even at E3, but my favorite reveal of anything had to be StarCraft II over in Korea. Uh-huh. The Korean Invitational thing, because those people went nuts. You would have thought the Beatles, like, that John Lennon was still alive and the Beatles came on stage. Like, it was like that. It was like the holy shit, you know, the... fucking Pink Floyd got back together or something, you know, just a crazy news. But, those people went apeshit, man. And that was an exciting announcement. I mean, even midway through, you knew it was StarCraft, but then once the moment the word StarCraft 2 came up on screen and everyone flipped, like, that was awesome. That was really cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know what my favorite would be. I haven't really, the only one I really like watched all of was, I think, was it GDC where the Ravi Drums Wii Music was at?
No, that was E3.
Was it E3?
Yes, it was E3 because I remember doing a write up of it for a few websites, and I was so
right.
I was so bad, like, I was so upset. I was like because everyone was like, man, this is going to be great. They're going to do the new Zelda, they're going to do the Kid Icarus, or they're going to do the...
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh my god, they fucking did that.
Yeah.
It made them money, whatever.
I can't really say what my... I think my favorite... I don't know, I don't think they even reviewed it, like, at a conference, but I think my favorite, like, announcement of recent was for Uncharted 2.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that, I think that's probably been my favorite in recent.
Or that was,
you know, excited because I guess originally they just put out like the, you know, the images of like him in the snow or like hanging off the, you know, the train that's hanging off this edge of a cliff or something.
So, yeah,
and so that's a game I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, absolutely, and I do hope they show some good quality stuff at E3. I'm just sick and tired of E3 being nothing but like to build excitement show, because is there really? I'm trying to think if there's anything like that for other industries. Like, is there... I mean, you could kind of say that something like Comic-Con or things like that for, like, making announcements, but normally it's interviews with people after a project is over with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, now we have a round table with everyone from The Watchmen, here's a new sneak peek, and ask some questions. But there's nothing like that for E3. It's basically just, here's a two-minute and 50-second pre-rendered trailer that we spend 9 months of development time on.
Here's 3 minutes of a new logo for some game that is a new IP.
And then here's...
But it's by Nintendo, so...
Yep. So it's golden.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some... I like the IGF, the independent... Those are really, I think are neat. They're the kind of independent game developers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always have some neat and interesting ideas to show.
So. Yeah, and like DICE and festivals like that. Yeah, I'm more interested in things like that nowadays. Just the big dog and pony show of, you know, here's how many lights we have that flash during the movie reveal, and then
because I don't know. I mean, it's the big companies. You know, I'm gonna find out the news some way or another. But it's really these kind of gatherings of small independent developers or neat little stuff that, you know, you wouldn't really find out otherwise. And then you see a video of, you know, a game where you spray different colored paint to do different actions. And you run off red paint and you jump. And, you know, and I'm like, damn, that's really awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it's just because the game industry is so hyped anyway. Like, even when it's not E3. You're constantly hyped about whatever ridiculous crap is going to be coming out. It's nothing but, like, well, it's going to be awesome. This is going to be great. And then a game comes out and it's mediocre, and you're like, whatever.
or on the other side of things, you know, somebody shows, like, 4 screenshots from a game, or like, oh, this game's going to be terrible. Look at it. It sucks. And then, you know.
Yeah.
The game hasn't even come out. Yeah.
There needs to be a full revamp of the system, man. I'm all for fighting the power.
And the healthcare system.
Yeah.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And our universal healthcare that needs to happen. And unemployment.
Nitro surgery.
Yeah, nitro political.
Deus nitro medicine.
Deus ex machina. That's what we need to do 1 week is like, here's our socio-political evaluations. It's a 9-hour podcast. I'm like, oh
god. Listen to it while you drive across the country.
Yeah, do a road trip.
To punch us in the face.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point of it. Is you turn it on and you're like, this is some bullshit. And then you get high. And
you buy some Depends so you don't even have to stop when you're driving to us.
You poop sock your car trip.
We've devolved.
Yeah. It's E3, man. I mean, it's already made us exhausted, and the full hype machine hasn't even started.
Yeah, so hopefully you've enjoyed some of our fakely perpetuated rumors, and hopefully you'll go on to perpetuate them more while you're listening to it before you find out for real that it's, you know...
That we've been...
We're just bearding you.
Yeah, that we've been telling the truth the entire time.
But at the same time, I hope you're smart enough to realize that we're just trying to perpetuate ridiculous rumors.
Yeah, not only that, but we're just trying to make fun of what the whole fucking games industry hype machine has become. It's just exhausting. It's exhausting, and, like, we love games as much as the next person, but goddamn, like, chill out. Like, for real.
I hope at E3, like they show a logo real quick, and then they show a photo of like Jade Raymond next to it, you know, saying like creative director, and that's it. It's just like 1 minute, 30 seconds of the logo, 30 seconds of Jade Raymond's face, and people will be like,
oh yeah, big crowd roar. And then Blizzard will announce their new IP, which I mean, in complete, in all seriousness, they said that their next massively multiplayer game is a brand new IP. Like, it's not StarCraft, it's not Warcraft, it's not Diablo, it's a whole new thing. It's their first actual franchise in 11 years. So
should be interesting.
But people will be disappointed. Like, I know for a fact, people will be like, well, I'd rather prefer a new StarCraft MMO. And you're like, fuck
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. And with that, Mr. Brian Belita, it's been a pleasure making fun of E3.
Wes Gardner, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And we'll be back next week with a little bit more serious tone.
And some guests.
A few guests, perhaps. If things go well, if things go correct, yeah, we will not only have one, but maybe two guests. So it'll be a packed house. We'll have a lot to talk about, and a lot of fun will be had. But in the meantime,
Kojima and David Jaffe.
Absolutely. And and I will be the translator in Japanese, because I've taken a semester of it. So I'm well prepared. And with that being said, E3 hype can die in a fire. And Nitro Beard completely wants to fight the system. So, with that being said, don't believe any of the shit you hear on the internet, and we're out. I got a bad, bad feeling that my baby don't live here no more. But that's okay, because I still got my guitar. The Adventures of Zippy.
I know you were almost.
I was like, oh my god, this is the dumbest thing.
Amazing.
And then I'm gonna promote it that we're dead serious throughout the whole thing. We're gonna be like, oh no, we got some in the second segment. It's all just legit news.
Awesome.
Because it started off great. It started off like really, yeah. Oh no, this will be a great decision. This is a great move. And then it just gets fucking retarded.
It does. It's absolutely ridiculous.
The M. Night Shyamalan thing. I just thought, I was
that
like,
was great. That was great.
What the hell?
Oh. That was a fantastic idea.
Oh my god. I think we actually sold people on the Grand Theft Auto thing for a little bit. Like, people are like, oh man, Dwayne, man, that's a good character. And then they're like, this sounds like Lost.
I think it'll be sealed when I said, and all these people that just want to go back to the island.
Yeah, I like how you said it, and I was like, yeah, man, Liberty City. It's crazy.
Awesome.
Oh my god. Oh, I can't wait to see how many people are in the first to piss off, though. Like, expecting somewhat decent news and coverage, and like, pulling at their strings, and then they're like, fuck these guys are idiots.